Okay, today's daf is a Avodah Zarah daf tes. I apologize about missing the last couple of Sundays. We should be more consistent from here on in. We did not do yesterday's daf together, but there's a few, the last 20 lines or so of yesterday's daf are very relevant to understanding today's daf. So the Gemara had said, just to quickly review what it said there, we're not going to read it all inside, but to quickly review what it had said, the Gemara had said and gone through the history of the Churban Abayis, of what exactly had happened. So the Gemara said that Amar of Kana, that when Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi got sick, they sent to him. Rabbi Amar lanu Shnayim v'Gimel Dvarim Shamarta lanu Mishum Avicha, that we're going to say over the two or three things that you said in the name of your father, and they were as follows: that 180 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Pashta Malchus Harish al Yisrael, the Roman Empire took over Klal Yisrael. They took over not only Klal Yisrael, but they took over the world 180 years before the Churban Abayis. 80 years before the Churban Abayis, they started making certain gzeros. They were gozer tumah and eretz ha'amim. They were gozer the klei zechuchus, a glass kelim could become tamei, etc. And then 40 years before the Churban Abayis, the Sanhedrin went into Galus and sat in the Chanos. The Chanos was an area of the Har Abayis that wasn't the Lishchas HaGazer, some other part of the Har Abayis. The Gemara then tries to figure out why in the world would the Sanhedrin leave the Lishchas HaGazer if they weren't forced to? What would send the Sanhedrin out of Lishchas HaGazus? And the Gemara says that they didn't want to be Dan Dinei Nefashos, that since they saw that there were so many murderers, and that if they were to be Dan Dinei Nefashos, they would actually have to kill a lot of people, so they decided it's not worth it, they don't want to be Dan Dinei Nefashos, and therefore they left Lishchas HaGazus, and they were unable to be Dan Dinei Nefashos outside of the Lishchas HaGazus. Now it's somewhat counterintuitive. You would think, well, if there are more murderers, it's more reason to stay in the Lishchas HaGazus to be Dan Dinei Nefashos. But the impression you get is that they only wanted to be Dan Dinei Nefashos if they wouldn't have to use it too often. But once they have to be killing people all the time, then they weren't interested in being Dan Dinei Nefashos anymore. That's what Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva. We've quoted many times. Rav Moshe was asked by the governor of the state of New York in the 1970s what the Jewish view on capital punishment is. As far as I know, it's the only Tshuva in Igros Moshe written to a non-Jew. And Rav Moshe explains that although we have a system where we do impose capital punishment, it's very, very rare that it actually ever happens. It's something that the requirements in order to make it happen are purposely very, very difficult, because we're not interested in killing people. What we're really interested in doing is being able to educate people as to what's a very severe iser and how severe it is that you're even chayiv misa for it, but not to actually give the misa. And adraba, once we find that we're giving the misa too often, so then we stop. And then the Sanhedrin left the Lishchas HaGazus. Tosus has an interesting point. It says the Gemara Maseches Ksuva says that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, even though she'afal pisha batlu dalad misos din dalad misos la batlu. It's Gemara in several places in Shas that even though the dalad misos no longer apply, we don't give anyone skila shev harig v'chelik anymore. But if someone does something that they're chayiv skila for, so they're going to die in a way that mimics skila. Someone does something they're chayiv harig for, they're going to die in a way that mimics harig, something like that. So the Gemara in Ksuvah Staf Lamed says, when did that start? Misha Charav Beis Hamikdash. Fractosos, shouldn't that system have started 40 years before Churban Abayis? If our Gemara is saying that 40 years before Churban Abayis, we already stopped doing the Dal and Misos, so shouldn't the Din Dal and Misos have already begun 40 years before the Churban Abayis? So Tos says, no, mikam lakam k'shay ron tzorech sha'a hayichozhen alishchav dan and sham. We have to keep in mind, those last 40 years, they chose on their own not to sit in the Lishchas HaGazus, which means that whenever they felt like it, they went back to the Lishchas HaGazus. So if they felt that there was a real need to impose a chiv misa on somebody, so they went right back to the Lishchas HaGazus, and they imposed the chiv misa in the Lishchas HaGazus. So you didn't have to rely on the din dalin misos until after the actual Churban Abayis. Bias. That's what Tosos wants to suggest. Okay, fine. So we see that that outside of Lishchas HaGazus, the Sanhedrin does not have the ability to kill, because the makom is gorim, the Gemara said. The makom of Lishchas HaGazus is what's gorim the ability to impose chiyuvei misa. Tosus is also bothered that other places where we say makom gorim, makom doesn't mean Lishchas HaGazus. Makom means all of Yerushalayim. We refer to the makom being gorim by Achilles Kachim Meister Sheni B'makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. That Achilles Kachim Meister Sheni, where does that happen? B'makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. And what's that makom? It's all of Yerushalayim. So why do we assume that dafka, when it comes to Chiyuvei Misa, that the makom is Lishchas Hagazis? So Tos says Yeshlomer Degabedin and Nefashos Lo Ikri Makom Ela Lishchas Hagazis Shoyse Chetzia B'Kodesh V'Chetzia B'Chol. That when it comes to Chiyuvei Misa, the makom is a reference to Lishchas Hagazis, which is half in Kodesh, half in Chol. V'Hainu Taim Mishum Debin in Sanhedrin Samach L'Shchina. Because when it comes to Sanhedrin, we need the Sanhedrin to be in very close proximity to the Shechina. And there's no greater proximity to the Shechina than being in a room that's literally Chetzia B'Kodesh. If you're in a room that's half of it is B'Kodesh, is in the Azara, where you're not even allowed to sit, and the other half is outside where the Sanhedrin was able to sit, so obviously that's as close to the Shechina as you can come. The Sanhedrin needed to be near the Shechina, and he proves that Sanhedrin needed to be near the Shechina from the fact that the Gemara says that anyone who's mamed a dayin she'eino hagun, anyone who sets up a judge that's inappropriate, that's not a qualified judge, it's ki'ilu nata ashera eitzel mizbeach. It's as if he's planted an ashera by the mizbeach. I mean, the point is that the dayan is considered to be near the mizbeach. If the dayan is a dayan sheino hagun, he's considered to be an ashera. He's considered to be, instead of something that aids in avodas Hashem, something that's the exact opposite of avodas Hashem. There's a mesha chachma, I think, at the beginning of Vayikra. I'm not sure exactly where, though. I don't recall. But the mesha chachma tries to explain why dafka we use ashera etzel mizbeach. Why not, tselem etzel kodesh hakadoshim? You could come up with a lot of opposites in terms of the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash and the tuma of avodah zarah. Why ashera etzel mizbeach? So he points out that the lashon of ashera is a lashon of misasheris meacherim. That all the shemos of avodah zarah that we have are not the technical names of the avodah zarah. They're really names that are made to mock the avodah zarah. So ashera makes a mockery of the avodah zarah, because an ashera tree is something that needs sunlight, it needs to be watered, it needs to be pruned, it needs to be taken care of. And the point is, this is something people worship. It's misasheris me'acherim. It only is able to survive and to thrive when others help it out. So it's a way of making a mockery of the avodah zarah. Mizbeach is made out of Evan. Evan is something, stone is something that never needs any tipul. It is what it is. It doesn't change, it doesn't grow, you don't have to work on it at all. So the idea of the Sanhedrin is that the Sanhedrin needs to be completely independent. If a Sanhedrin wants to be functional at a high level, it has to be a group of people who aren't dependent on other people. That's why a dayan has to be an ashir, because if he's easily swayed by a little bit of money one way or the other, it's going to pervert the entire justice system. So the Sanhedrin, the number one quality the Sanhedrin needs, is that they be completely independent. So says the Meshech Chachma, that's why the Sanhedrin sat right near the Mizbeach, and that's why by the Mizbeach, right, you can't have any wood involved in the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach represents that which, because that's the idea of Karbanos also, represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's complete independence. That one might think when they're bringing Karbanos, here we are giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything from us. We're not contributing anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're helping ourselves by serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely independent. That's why the Mizbeach is made out of Evan. So says the Meshech Chachma, someone who's mamed a dayan she'eino hagun, he puts in place a judge who's not an okay judge, is ki'ilu nata ashera etzel mizbeach. It's as if he took an ashera and put it by the mizbeach, meaning he took the idea of ashera, the idea of dependence, of needing other people, and he put it where the mizbeach belongs, where the idea of complete independence belongs. That's the idea of ashera etzel mizbeach. But what Tosfos is showing from there is that you see that you need to be, that the Sanhedrin needs to be in very close proximity to the Shechina. But okay, that's the main point we wanted to get out from this Gemara, is that 180 years before the Churban Habayis, the Gemara says, the Romans took over. So now, let's take it from the two dots at the very bottom of Chesam and Beis. Says the Gemara, Me'u Shmonim Sulo, that's it, just 180 years before the Churban Habayis, that's when the Romans took over. V'atan Rabbi Yossi Berebi, Malchus Paras B'fnei Habayis, Shloshim Varba Ashana, Varba Shana, that the Malchus Paras extended into the period of the Beis HaMikdash, while thereafter Koresh built the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi says, which is a question whether Koresh actually built the Beis HaMikdash, but after Koresh built the Beis HaMikdash, the Malchus of Paras, his Malchus extended for an additional 34 years before it was undone. So, and Malchus Yavan, then Malchus Yavan took over Bifnei Abayis Meo Shmonim Shana, and the Greeks ruled while the Beis HaMikdash was standing for 180 years. So far, by the time the end of the Greek rule happened, the Beis HaMikdash was 180 plus 34, right? It was 214 years. Malchus Chashmonai Bifnei Abayis Meo Veshalosh. Then the Chashmonaim took over from the Greeks, and they ruled for 103 years. Now the Chashmonaim were Jews, right? So what's this Malchus Chashmonai that took over for 103 years? So one of the things we mentioned yesterday, we didn't have a shir yesterday, but that the Gemara mentioned in yesterday's daf is that the that we were partners when we took over the Beis HaMikdash. We were partners together with the Romans when we originally took over. Now the first 26 years of the partnership, it worked out well. We weren't abused. Everything was fine. After the first 26 years were over, that's when the partnership sort of went downhill and we started becoming subjugated and abused. But the Malchus Chashmonai is also when the Malchus of the Romans began. That's what we're trying to say. So when did that happen? That happened right after the Greeks. So it was 214 years into after the Beis HaMikdash was built. So Malchus Chashmonai B'fnei Abayis Me'ev Shalosh was 103 years. Malchus Beis Hordus Me'ev Shalosh. And the Malchus Beis Hordus was an additional 103 years. So you do all the math, 206 plus the 180 plus the 34, and that's the 420 years that the Beis HaMikdash stood. So Mikan ve'elach tseva chashov kamashanim achor Chorban HaBayis. And if you want to figure out how many years it's been since the Chorban HaBayis, and you want to figure out how to write the dates in the Shtar, if you want to date it back to the dates of the Roman Empire, so if you know how many years it's been since the Chorban HaBayis, you can then figure it out going backwards 206 more years, and you'll be able to date something to the beginning of the Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire began 206 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So, Frek the Gemara, wait a second, we just said that the Roman Empire began 180 years. We said in yesterday's daf, 180 years before the Chorban HaBayis, Pashta Malchus Harisha Al Yisrael, the evil empire, took over. So over here we're saying that it's 206 years that the Chashmonaim took over, and we know the Chashmonaim were partners with the Romans. So the Romans must have taken over 206 years, not 180 years. Alma Masan V'shisavu, V'atam Ritmei V'shmonim Avu. We're saying over here it's 206, and you wanted to tell me 180? So says Gemara, Ella Esrin V'shishnin, Kamu Behimnusayu Bahade Yisrael V'lo Shtabdubuhu. That for 26 years, as we said, they kept their end of the bargain. There was a deal in place. And they, in fact, were not Mishtabit Klal Yisrael for those first 26 years. So you're right. They took over 206 years before the Chorban HaBayis. But of those 206, the first 26, they didn't do anything bad to us, and therefore v'amtu lahachi lo kachashvelu kesha pashta malchus harisha al Yisrael. You want to describe when did the evil empire take over Klal Yisrael? Well, you can't call them the evil empire before they did anything evil. They hadn't done anything bad yet for the first 26 years. It was only 180 years before the Chorban HaBayis that they in fact became evil, that they started doing bad things. Good, so that's how the numbers work out in terms of the 180 versus the 206. A lot of numbers on today's daf. The whole daf is all about numbers, all figuring out years. It's a big break from all the agarata that we've been having. So it says the Gemara in the first wide line on Tesamad Aleph. Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, based on that as follows. Itai haitanev, liyada pratika mehava. If a tan is mistaken, let's say a person is mistaken, someone who's teaching, who's learning, is mistaken, and he doesn't know what year he's in. He doesn't know what year it is. Now he knows what century he's in, but he doesn't remember exactly which year it is of the century. So he knows it's 5,700 and he can't fill in the last two numbers. So he has a very simple eitz of what to do. L'shaili l'safra, let him go ask a scribe, kamaksiv, how many years he's writing in the Shtaros, right? How many years it's been since the Amadas HaMalchus, V'nitfi alayu esrin shenin, u'mashkech le'luchomri, and just add 20 years to that number, to those last two digits, and he'll have his number of how many years it's been since the Briyas HaOlam. Meaning, the Briyas HaOlam is off from the year that we count from the Malchus by 20 years in the tens column. Right now, obviously, it's way off in the thousands and hundreds column, but we're talking about someone who already knows where to fill in the thousands and hundreds column. He already has his 5, 7 filled in. He just needs to know what to do in the next two columns. So it's 20 years off. All he's got to do is add 20 years. How does that work out? Why do you add 20 years? How does that happen? So he says, if you look at Rashi on the first wide line, Shari Minyan Asofer Maschil Shin Pei Shanim Kodem Achurban, because a Sofer will start counting 380 years before the Churban. Why? Because when does the Sofer start counting from? From when the Malchus Yavan took over. The Malchus of the Greek dynasty. The Greek dynasty started 380 years before the Churban. How do we figure that it started 380 years before the Churban? Didn't we say that after 34 years that the Beis HaMikdash was built, that's when they took over? Shouldn't that mean they started 386 years before the Churban? Not 380 years before the Churban, because after all, the Beis HaMikdash lasted for 420 years. So how do we figure that they started 380 years before the Churban? So he says, "Ketanya la'el the Yavan Natul Malchus Sosof Lamedayin Lamedalu the Binyan Abayis." Hosef aleim sheishanim she'ein manim lahen. Because the first 6 years of the Greek dynasty, we don't count toward the Greek dynasty. Why do we not count them toward the Greek dynasty? Because they weren't completely in control. They were only malach be'elam, in a place called Elam. But after those 6 years, that's when the Greek dynasty really took hold. So the first 6 years of the Greek dynasty don't count. So when we're writing shtaros, when people are writing shtaros, they would count back to the beginning of the Greek dynasty, but not all the way at the beginning, 6 years after it began, which was always 380 years after the 380 years prior to the Churban HaBayis. Sorry, Tchilas Minyanam L'Sof Mem L'Binyano. So we start counting them 40 years after the Beis HaMikdash was built. Tahenu Shin Pei Kodem HaChurban. Nimtza K'shehischa Tana Limnos L'Churban. I misspoke before. When a Tana wants to count, not from Briyas HaOlam, but when he wants to count to the Churban, he wants to know how many years it's been since the Churban, and he knows how many centuries it's been. He just wants to know how many tens and how many ones. He wants to know how many... He wants to fill in those last two columns since the Churban. So ask the Sofer how many he's counting. Add 20 years, and then you're going to be at a round number, because we know 380 years before the Churban is when the Sofer counts from. So you add 20 years, and you'll get to your you'll even it out. You'll even out the numbers. So manukvar chavshan nishlam klal haSofer lios dalin meos. So if you add those 20 years, you'll get to a round number. Fine. The simanayich back in the Gemara, and the siman to remember this is zeli esrim shana beveisecha. Is the pasuk zeli esrim shana beveisecha that it's 20 years in your house, meaning that you count, if you want to know from the Churban HaBayis, you add an additional 20 years. Itay Safra, what if a Sofer doesn't know how many years it's been to write in the Shtaros? He doesn't know how many years it's been since the Greeks took over. So Neshayli Latana, Kamachashiv, V'nivtzar Minayu Esrin Shnin. So ask a rabbi, how many years has it been since the Churban HaBayis? He'll tell you that number. Let's say he says, whatever number he says, just take those last two columns, whatever number is in those last two columns, and subtract 20 years. And then he'll know, U'mishkach Le'luchumre, and he'll know the number that he's looking for, and then he'll get exactly what he's looking for in terms of the last two columns. Again, this is assuming he knows what century he's in. It's assuming he knows the thousands and the hundreds column. He only doesn't know the last two columns. V'simanayich, and the way to remember which one adds and which one subtracts, who adds 20 years and who subtracts 20 years, is safra betzira tana tosva'a. Is to remember that a sofer always subtracts and a tana always adds. What does that mean, safra betzira? Is that when a sofer writes a shtar, Rashi explains, very often he has a mesora, how he writes certain letters, and the sofer very often, how he writes certain words rather, and he'll write words that we normally write malay, He'll write chaser. He'll write missing letters. The sofer always subtracts letters here and there. That's just the way soferim operate. If you look in the Masoret Shas on the side of the page, it says Pirush Minak Kosev Mikra Lichtov Bechisur. That what kind of sofer are we talking about over here? Not just sofer of shtaros. We're talking about people who write Tanakh. People who write Torah, people who write Chumashim and who write Sefer Torah, they have a minhag to sometimes skip letters. Kigon Moshe below Vav. We write, it would be so much easier to pronounce the name Moshe, we would never be able to mistake it for the word, let's say, Miseh, or something like that. If you would just have a Vav between the Mem and the Shin, right, then you know that it's a Malay, then it would be so much easier to pronounce. Yet we write it without a Vav. Lemor below Vav. We write Lemor without a Vav. But the Tana very often likes to write the word in its complete form. Interesting that the Tana used to write, that the rabbis used to write, when they would write Moshe, they would write it with a Vav. I don't think I've ever seen it spelled that way. But in the Sefer Torah, we don't do it that way. That's the tradition. So we see that in the Sefer Torah, they have such a tradition to always have it chaser. The Ramban, in the Tshuvos HaMiuchasos, the Ramban, in Siman Reish Lamed Beis, he quotes in Shor HaMitzvah Balacha, says that Eino Nuchoshin L'Sakein HaSifrei Torah Al Pi Drasha Shebet Talmud, that in general, we don't make our Sifrei Torah conform to the exact drashos that Chazal have based on the way words are spelled. Pilagshim Ksiv, it says Pilagshim sometimes without a Yud, just Pei Lamed Gimel Shin Mem. Ubisfarim Shalonu Ksiv Pilagshim Biyud. Right? Even though Chazal Darshan Pilagshim without the Yud, we have in our Sefer Torah that it says it with the Yud. So, or Basukos, L'Totafos, the Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin, when it's Doresh, Yeshem L'Mikra, Yeshem L'Mesorah, whether it spells the word Sukos with a Vav, with two Vavs, with one Vav, exactly how to spell it, or Totafos. So we follow our tradition of how the Sofrim write, meaning this point that the Gemara is making, that the Sofrim have a particular tradition, and whether that makes the most sense in terms of how to spell a word or not is irrelevant. They follow their tradition, and sometimes that means skipping some letters that we otherwise would have included. Now, when we write shtaros, it happens to be we do the exact opposite. When we write a get or we write a ksuba, even we try to put in as many letters as we can in order to make it as clear as possible that this is the way to pronounce it. Meaning, if I've done weddings at Crest Hollow Country Club, it's a very popular place to make weddings now. So, where is it? It's in Woodbury, New York. Right? How do you spell Woodbury in a ksuba? So really, you could have gotten away with vav vav dalad beis resh yud, right? Woodbury, and you get the idea. But since we want to make sure, how do you know that's Woodbury and not Woodbury, Woodbury, Woodbury? You could have come up with anything. So the way we're knowing to write letters is that we add in ayins and alifs and yuds based on whether it's a chiruk sound, a segel sound, a kamat sound. So for the W we do vav vav is W somehow. Vav vav is wo. But woo, how do you do the oo if you just did a vav vav? So vav vav vav, but that looks ridiculous. So you do vav vav, aleph vav. So you added an aleph there to get the woo. And then what do you get? How do you do berry? How do you know that it's berry, not bury, not biri, not buri? Not, right? So berry and an ayin between the beis and the resh to make it very. The ayin is that's the tradition that in order to make the segel sound under the beis, you would add an ayin between right and add an ayin after the beis. If you wanted a kamat sound, you'd add an aleph. If it was wood bury, it would be with an aleph. So we add as many letters as we can in order to make it 100% clear that this is how we pronounce that it can only be pronounced this way and no other way. But Tana Tosfa'a, what's the simon of Tana Tosfa'a? That we learn Toseftas, right? But the simon over here is that a Tana adds on, that if a Tana wants to know the number of years, he adds on. Now Rabbi Yaakov Emden says Tana Tosfa'a means, could have meant also, that a Tana adds on actual letters when he's writing also, that when a Tana writes letters, he writes it Malay. And that's Tana Tosfa'a, not just Tana Tosefta, as if to say, we teach Tosefta, and that's the simon. The simon is how a Tana writes, that a Tana also writes extra letters. But he says it could be Rashi didn't want to say that way. Rashi talks about just Tani Tosefta because the Tanaim didn't really write. Everything was Torah Shebal Peh. They only started writing things down later on. So that's why they did Tana Tosfa'a. That's why Rashi explained Tana Tosfa'a in that way. Okay, says the Gemara. Tana de Be'elio, very famous statement of the Tana de Be'elio. Sheisha Salafim Shana Havia Olam. The world is going to last for a total of 6,000 years. There's 6,000 years of human history, and it splits up in the following way. Shnei Alafim Tohu, the first 2,000 years are Tohu. Shnei Alafim Torah, the second 2,000 years are Torah. Shnei Alafim Yimos HaMashiach, and the final 2,000 years are Yimos HaMashiach. And unfortunately, because of our averos, so many of those last 2,000 years have passed, and Mashiach has still not yet come. Meaning, apparently, he's eligible to come only within that 2,000-year time period. When we darshan be'ita achishena, that if we're zocha, then it's going to be be'ita, and if we're not zocha achishena, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it later. So that's within those last 2,000 years. That had we been zocha, Mashiach would have come very early in those 2,000 years. Since we're not zocha, we're almost done with those 2,000 years already, and he still hasn't come. That's because of our averos. Now, the Gemara in Masech Sanhedrin of Tzadi Dalet tells us that Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasus as Chizkiyahu Mashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyahu the Mashiach and Sancheiriv into Gogu Magog. So in fact, the Torah Chayim, one of the Achronim, he says, how could that even have been a possibility? Chizkiyahu lived during the times of Bayis Rishon. Bias Mashiach, the Zman of these 2,000 years of Mashiach, only began 172 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. The year 4000 Ribriyas HaOlam was 172 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So how could Chizkiyahu have possibly been the Mashiach? We weren't yet up to that stage of history. So the Taras Chaim suggests that that's how great the Zchus of Chizkiyahu and his generation was. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make him the Mashiach, even though it wasn't even the time where if we would be Zocha, we should be able to have the Mashiach. But the point is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even thought about making him the Mashiach. Now, the other problem that the Rishonim deal with is that it says over here that the Tana de Bei Eliyahu taught that we have these 2,000, 2,000, and 2,000. There is a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin of Tzadi Zayin and Beis where it says that Eliyahu HaNavi told Rav Yehuda that the world is not going to be any less than 85 Yovlos. 85 times 50. So you do the math, and in that last Yovel, that's when Mashiach is going to come. Now, if you do the math of 4,000 years, so Dalet Alafim V'Reish Shana is 84 Yovlos. 4,200 years is 84 Yovlos. So how can you possibly say that the Tana de Bei Eliyahu says that the whole world is going to last 6,000 years, and after 4,000 we're ready in the times of Mashiach, if Eliyahu HaNavi himself said that it has to be at least 85 Yovlos, which is more than 4,000 years before Mashiach comes, right? The numbers don't work out, they don't add up. So the Achron, the Taras Chaim, suggests that we often assume Eliyahu and Tana de Bei Eliyahu are one and the same. They're not. Tana de Bei Eliyahu is someone else. It's a teaching from the Beis Medrash of someone named Eliyahu, but it is not Eliyahu HaNavi. It is not the same Eliyahu as the Tana de Bei Eliyahu is not the same as Eliyahu. And we have such a precedent for such an idea. That we find in Masech HaShabbos Chav Dalet and Beis, Chizkiyahu is not Tana de Bei Chizkiyah. Right? Chizkiyah and Tana de Bei Chizkiyah are two different people. Tosfos Masech HaShavuos Daf Hei Amud Aleph in Dibur HaMaskil Tana says Rabbi Shmuel and Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel do not have to conform with each other. Rabbi Shmuel and Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel are also different. They're not the same. The difficulty with this one is that in Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel, there's a very famous Gemara where the Gemara says that there was a certain woman whose husband died at a very young age, and she used to take his tefillin and go around from Beis Medrash to Beis Medrash, and she used to say, it says in the Pasuk, Ki Chayecha Varuch Yamecha, that the Torah gives you long life. Ba'ali Shoshana Harbe V'Kara Harbe V'Shina Shomid Chum Harbe. My husband learned so much Torah, and he learned so much Mikra, he learned so much Mishnah, he learned so much Gemara. Where's his Orach Yamim? Where's his long life? So the Gemara says it was a Tana de Bei Eliyahu that no one would say anything to her until I told her and I started interviewing her and I started asking her, well, wait a second, how did he act with you while you were in Nida, while you were menstruating? And she would say, the Chasm v'shalma filu besma ketana lo nagabi. He wouldn't even touch me with a small finger while I was menstruating. Okay, how did he act to you before you went to mikvah, after your menstruation was over, but while you were counting yeshiva nikim before you went to mikvah? How did he act during that time? And she would say, oh, well, achali mi, v'shasa imi, v'yashani mi bikir of basar. He used to eat with me and drink. I know this Gemara by heart because I teach chasen classes. So this is like, this is the source for all our chakos. He would eat with me, he would drink with me, we would sleep together in close proximity, in the same bed. So he says, Baruch HaMakom Shahargo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be blessed for killing him, because Lo Nasa Panam LaTorah, he didn't pay attention to what the Torah says. Torah says you can't come close to Anida, and look, he did all these things of Kurva Lanida. So, but it sounds, who could say something like that, if not Eliyahu HaNavi? It sounds that the Tana de Be'el Eliyahu was said by Eliyahu HaNavi himself, but that's not something anyone of us could just go ahead and say, oh yeah, we know exactly why he died and why he, you know, at such a young age. So that Gemara makes it sound like that Ataka is Eliyahu HaNavi. So it's a little bit difficult to say that the Tana de Be'el Eliyahu is not Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Shnei Alafim Torah Me'imas. Well, actually, before we get to that, the Gemara wants to know where we start the 2,000 years of Torah. Forget about where we started. What is it? How do we end the 2,000 years of Torah? After the year 4,000, there's no more Torah? What does that even mean? That the Torah was only for those middle 2,000 years? After that, there's no more Torah? So Rashi tries to brush over it a little bit. He says, Shnei Alafim Torah below Yemos HaMashiach. 2,000 years of Torah means Torah without Yemos HaMashiach. But after those after the year 4,000, of course there's still Torah, but it's also Yemos HaMashiach in addition to Torah. Rashi in Sanhedrin says otherwise, says that, no, that since it says Shnei Alafim Tohu, it also says Shnei Alafim Torah, but it doesn't mean that the Torah is going to be done after that time. The Marsha says, no, it does mean the Torah is done. It means that Chiddush in Torah, the ability to argue in Torah, now all of our Torah learning is interpreting what previous generations said. But to be Mechadesh in Torah, That ended around that time, which was around the time of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. That's how the Marsha does the math. Okay, anyway, so Shnei Alafim Torah Me'emas. I asked the Gemara, when does the 2,000 years of Torah start? Inema mimatan Torah. If you want to say it starts from Matan Torah, Ad Hashalecha Kulehai. It doesn't work out, because Matan Torah is 2,448. You're off by 448 years. Right? You're gonna find out that you'll be off by many, many years in terms of the since Matan Torah. So rather, if you want to start the 2,000 years of Torah starting 2,000 years after the Briyas HaOlam, you have to start the 2,000 years of Torah from Nefesh HaSharasu B'charon, from when Avram started his mission of going and converting people and teaching other people. That's what I think it's a Meshech Chachma, another gorgeous Meshech Chachma. I think he says that what did Chazal say? That the Avos were Mekayim Kala Torah Kula, and Avram Avinu was even Mekayim Eruve Chatzeros. So Avram Avinu was even Mekayim Eruv Tavshilin. Eruv Tavshilin. That Yaakov Avinu was Mekayim Eruv Tchumen, I think, and Avram Avinu was even Mekayim Eruv Tavshilin. So why is it, of all the things to say, all the Dinim Drabban, why Eruv Tavshilin? So what's Eruv Tavshilin about? That you're allowed to cook from one day to the next, because Shem Yikloi Orchim V'chazile, that maybe guests are going to come, and you're going to always have to host the guests. So Avram Avinu was so focused on guests, so focused on outreach, so that's why we Davka pick that halacha, to say that Avram Avinu observed. But anyway, that's when we start Torah. When Avram Avinu started spreading monotheism throughout the world. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that when Avram Avinu was young, his parents were over the Avodah Zarah, and he was over the Imahim, like any good boy. He was a little boy, he went to church with his parents. So he was over the Avodah Zarah too, until he realized, he woke up one day and he said, wait a second, there's got to be more. And he discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his own, and then against Allah, against everyone mocking him, he went around from town to town and got up on his soapbox, and he started preaching. And he was preaching about monotheism. How old was he? 52 years old at that time. Kama Batran, so if you do the math, and Rashi does all the math, so we'll just take his word for it over here. Kama Batran, how many years is it going to work out? Midatani Tana Arba Mea V'Arba'im Utmanya Shana Havyan. It will turn out that it's 448 years prior to Kabbalah Satara, if you do all the math. Kima Ayenes Be Mea Nefesh Rasu B'charin An Matan Tara Arba Mea V'Arba'im Utmanya Shana Havyan. Meaning we were 448 years off when we wanted to count from Matan Torah, but guess what? Avram Avinu turned 52 years old, 448 years before before Matan Torah. So it works out exactly perfectly that the 2,000 years of Torah start from the Nefesh Sharasu B'charim, from when Avram Avinu started spreading the word. Amrav Papi, Ta'i Tana V'loyad Prati Kama Havi. If a Tana doesn't know how to count the years, L'shayli L'safra Kama Ksiv, he should ask a Sofer how he writes it. V'nitvi Aleu Arbayin V'timni U'mishkach L'chumrein. He should add 48 years and he'll find the right number. So how does this work out? So Rashi explains that the Tana counts 172 years after the Churban, which is when the Shnei Alafim Torah ended, which is 172 years after the Churban. The Sofer's counting from 380 years before the Churban. So the Minyan of Sofer precedes the Minyan Hatana by 552 years. So if you want to even it out, so 48 years will even out the tens column when you're off by 552, right? Because in the tens column, 52, if you want to even that out to get to an even 00, you would add 48. So if a Tana wants to know how to count from the years of Torah, so you should ask a Sofer and just add 48 years and he'll get to his right number. The Simanayich, Arboy Mushmoni Ir, and the way to remember that is 48 cities. The 48 Ariyah Halavim are the way to remember the number. The Tai Safra, and if a Sofer doesn't know, Nishaili Latana, he should ask a Tana, Kama Katani, Vinifzer Minayu Arboy Mushmoni, and he should subtract 48 years. Umishkach Lechumre, and he'll get his number. The Simanayach, and the Siman to remember this, Safra Betzira Tana Tosfa. Like we said before, a Sofer subtracts, a Tana adds. I'm Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua said another cheshbon thing. If a guy doesn't know what year of the Shemitah cycle he is in right now, so you want to figure out, you know the Shemitah cycle lasts 7 years, you want to figure out what year in the Shemitah cycle we're up to. Nitvi chad shasa v'nichshav klali biyovli. So first of all, just add 1 year to the right, add 1 year from the years of the Churban. If you're counting from the Churban, add 1 year, and now start counting, start dividing it up by hundreds and by tens. Meaning, if let's say you add a year and you discover that we are 542 years since the Churban, right? So, meaning it's really 541, add one, so make it 542. Now break it up in the following way. So you take the hundreds column, right, and you take the tens column. So you take the 500 and view that on its own, then take the tens, the 42, and view that on its own. Uprati b'shvuei v'nishkal mimea trei v'nishti aprati. In the hundreds column, for each century, take off 2 years and add it to the tens column. So if it's been 500 years in the hundreds column, take two for each of those 500, for each 100, which is going to lead you with 10, and add it to the 42. So you'll have 52, right? V'nichshavinu l'prati b'shvuei. Now divide 52 by 7, and you'll figure out exactly what the remainder is. That's what year of Shemitah you're on. V'yada kama shnayim b'shvuei. You'll know exactly what year of Shemitah it is. Meaning that assumes that in each 100 years, in each century, we have two Yovlos plus two more years. That assumes that the Yovel year still counts toward the Shemitah cycles, that the Shemitah cycles continue to run. That's what Rashi points out. We're assuming, like Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't say Yovel is a break from all the Shemitah cycles and it's a 50th year stands on its own, and then year 51 is the year of the next Shemitah cycle. No, because then you wouldn't have any remainder at the end of each century. We're assuming that it continuously runs. And the Simanayich, the way to remember that is, Kizesh Nasayim Hara'av Bekerav Ha'aretz, that it's 2 years of famine Bekerav Ha'aretz. That the way to remember is by taking 2 years from each 100, and that's how you're going to be able to figure out what year of the Shemitah cycle we're in. Okay, I guess we got to stop there. So we'll stop there, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up from Amar Rabbi Chanina tomorrow. Okay, I think we're done with most of the cheshbonos though.